and not like. Verse 19, he will be as though a man flee from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into a house, laying his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Verse 20, is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? Here we see that some people desire for the day of the Lord. Like God said, woe to them. How come people who desire for the day of the Lord are woes? Okay. From the context, by looking at it, okay, these people are basically self-righteous. Okay. They feel that they are righteous, and they feel that nothing wrong with them. And in the time of suffering, they hope for that. They hope for God to come to deliver them. So they hope for the day of the Lord. But God said no. Woe to you. It's as if a man, right, run away from a lion, but he met a bear. Right? So it's like running. They hope for the day of the Lord to come in times of trouble. But when the Lord comes, what will happen? Bigger trouble. Bigger condemnation. Okay. So how come, like I mentioned before, how come these people feel that way? A couple of things. One is that they're self-righteous. They do not see that they did wrong things. They feel that this disaster comes because of other people. But they don't realize it's come for them. Okay. And when they're in there, in the trouble, they hope for the day of the Lord to come. And today, be careful, because right now, in this society, I discovered that there are many people prophesizing, not our church, but some people, if you heard about the theory of premillennial, right? Basically saying that when the Lord will come, right, there will be a 1,000 year of kingdom, a peace. Okay? No, Satan's not going to take us for 1,000 years. Right? And so sometimes people think, oh, all these troubles, when the day of the Lord comes, everything will be fine. Not so, okay? In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, disaster will come upon disaster, more and more, until what? The Lord comes and judges the world. Now, what comes God sent disaster? Because people were wicked. So at that time, so this prophecy can refer to the people at that time. People are under persecution of Assyrians, but they thought that they are innocent and righteous, and hope for the day to come. But it will bring them wrath. But for us, it's today that let's not be like them, thinking there's no fault with us. The disasters come for people of this world, not me. It might be for us, too, okay? So we need to be cautious. And how can we escape the wrath of God on the day of the Lord? Okay. In Amos chapter 5, verse 6, we see that God already told them. Let's look at Amos chapter 5, verse 6. God already told them, seek the Lord and live. That is the only way out to what? To escape God's wrath. Now, I'd like to define more clearly, what does it mean to seek the Lord? We know that, in previous class we mentioned, Bethel represents the place of worship, and the golden calf represents people are worshiping God in their own way, not according to the Bible. For example, keeping four commandments, okay, and other things. They're doing their own way. They're using their own definition. They use their own standard to justify themselves. However, let's see what does it mean to seek the Lord truly. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you. Prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Now here records that actually the Philistines had been oppressed for 20 years since they lost the battle to the Philistines. And they were under oppression and slavery. Okay? And for 20 years, Samuel had been preaching to them. Gradually, they come to their senses. They know that they need to rely on God. So verse 2, so they turn back to God. And Samuel taught them how to seek the Lord. First, Samuel told them, put away your idols. These people worship God, worship idols at the same time. Today, we have many believers. You and I know some people love the world, at the same time they love God. Okay, it's just like them. They want to worship God, but at the same time they what? They have idol, Ashtoreth in their house. And what idol represent today? Bible tells us greed. Or maybe what? Sexual immorality? Lust? What else? Anything that takes priority of God. Okay. Bible tells us, put them away. That's the first thing. Okay. Determine to serve God. Determine to believe in God. Serve God. Second is to prepare our hearts. Okay. How do we prepare our hearts? Just like the ground, right? You have the weeds. You pull out. These are like idols. But what do? You have to prepare the ground. You need to plow it, turn it over, soften it. Okay? In other words, we need to hear the word of God. Okay? Soften our heart. Prepare our heart. Using the word of God to make our heart upright. Okay? Know what is right. Okay? And last one, serpent only. Mean practice it. This is seeking God. So someone taught them how to seek God. And if we can do so, we shall be free from Philistine. Philistine represent our weaknesses that suppress us, that controls us. Okay? So that's how we can seek God and escape the judgment of God on the day of the Lord. Okay. Let's turn to Amos, back to Amos. Chapter 5. Verse 21. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 to 27. God then tell them what God really wants. Verse 21. I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Verse 22. Though you offer me burnt offering and your grain offering, I will not accept them, nor would I regard your fast and peace offerings. Verse 23. Take away from me the noise of your song, for I will not hear the melody of your string instrument. Verse 24. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Verse 25. Do you not offer me sacrifice and offering in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carry Shechem, your king, and Chin, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourself. Verse 27. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Okay. So here we see God said, I despise your feast days and your religious sacred assemblies. These people, I'm telling you, they're worshiping God. They're very fervent. It can represent today. We can come to service. But what's the problem with it? Okay. Verse 22, verse 23, it describes their service, their offering, their singing hymns. But then, 23, God said, I don't want to hear your noise. I mean, this music is noise in my ear. Okay? I will not listen to your melody of your string instruments. What God really wants is 24. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. In other words, do what is right in the sight of God. That's what God really desires. These people don't do right. And then they keep offering, they keep singing songs. God does not like that. We have mentioned before. And these people, God mentioned what they did in the past until now. In the past, for 40 years in the wilderness, these people were worshiping God. They had a tabernacle of God. They worship God. But then what? In their own house, they have a secret idols. They worship. They carry around whenever they move. Until that time, and from that time until this time, they've been doing it. And God has seen them all. And, you know, if you look at our life, I feel like our life just like theirs. So easily we have idol in the heart. Maybe you see our parents have idol. We see our grandparents have idol. You see brothers and sisters have idol. Sometimes you see preachers have idol. You see workers have idols. Right? It seems like so... no big deal. It's like everybody has them. But we can see that this one day, God said, enough. You've been doing all these times. I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, a foreign land, way back, way past there. So if you see people having it, a lot of people having it, don't think, oh, that's right, because everybody having it. No, it's not. Okay. So this is what God... this is what makes God very upset. Okay? And God has been tolerant to us. Not tolerant, but gave us time to repent. And we need to really examine ourselves how we keep the full commandment. Sometimes some believers have this, of course, Sabbath is the grace of God. You know, it's not to doubt us. But it doesn't mean that we can despise it, we can look down, and we treat it as any other day. Bible does not teach us that. Bible tells us to honor that day, to respect that day, right? So there's certain things we shouldn't do so that to honor that day, to honor that day, to honor God by keeping the full commandment. But sometimes we just treat it, well, the processor is doing it, no problem. Let me do it too. Watch movie, having fun. Not that we can have having fun, but how can I put it? You know, having fun, what I mean by having fun, right? Really, it's not hard, it's not in the service. And they don't want to be in service. They don't want to get out and having, you know, do their own things, miscellaneous things, okay, earn money or whatever. And that shouldn't be, right? And God's been patient with us. So, what God wants is to do what is right instead of God. And we have to learn the Bible to really know what does God require us. And by looking in our life, also in Dominica, the place I go to sometimes to help out the holy work there, I discovered that right now the trend of this world, even in Christian country, the trend of this world is that even though many people are Christians, but they don't really have the desire to do what is right. I look at Dominica and also here in the United States, I discovered that the people... most people believe in God, especially in Dominica. I asked a couple people, I asked some people, do you believe in God? Very, very few people say they're atheists, but most of them believe in God. But then if you've been in Dominica, you might wonder how come they're so corrupted. I mean, what is so corrupted is, well, the whole society, somebody told me, from the greatest to the least, okay? They all have many wives, and then they have different husbands, and divorce is quite often, one after one. Right? Today, they can separate from their spouse and go with another person. Or some people can even, at the same time, have a husband, and then if they don't have money, they go prostitution. And happen quite popular. I mean, the whole society is quite filled with that kind of thing. Right? And it's kind of hard to preach the gospel there. By preaching the gospel there, first, they have to change their lifestyle. Okay? God's willing to accept them, forgive them. But I discovered it. They say, well, I met one little girl, about a teenager. She was living with a 30-some years old man. And come to our church. And in that kind of society, we pretty much know that 30 years old man already had a wife and somehow departed and now living with this little teenager girl. And this man is providing for her and she's led to study, you know, advanced her education. And simply preaching gospel to her and say, cut off your that kind of life, right? To them, I say, well, if I depart from him, then who's going to support me to study? And so the whole society is kind of totally mixed up. And, well, we do what we can, we preach. And to those who wanted to hear the God calling, they will come. Okay? And another thing I hear is very interesting is, happened too, over there quite often. Most people go to church. Okay? Most people go to church. And what they did is, if you want to sing hymn in the front, right, you have to pay tithe. The people there don't pay too much tithe, I think. So their pastors had this rule. If you want to sing hymns in front, you have to pay tithe. They really do, okay? And then they pay tithe, they sing, and they feel so proud, okay, in front of it. I was thinking, what? You pay tithe, pay money to sing in front? Okay? It doesn't make sense to me. Well, it doesn't make sense to us, but that's truly what happened. Right? And so some people pay money to us, stand up there to sing, or to offer sacrifice to God. But then if our life is totally mixed up like theirs, and continuing in sin, you think God will accept their singing and praises? Okay. No. So, over there is also plenty of lying too. Later I'll tell you about it. Okay, let's go on. Let's look at second message, second woes. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Verse 2. Go over to Kane and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath, a Philistine. Are you better than this kingdom? Or is their territory greater than your territory? Okay. So what kind of people have woe? Verse 1 tells us is those who are at ease in Zion. Okay. And the second characteristic is those who trust in Samaria. What does these two represent? One, the first one, who are at ease in Zion? It means that those people what? Pursue luxury, comfortable life. Okay. For example, in Luke chapter 6, verse 24, so let me read to you. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Verse 25. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Okay. So it's not like we cannot have wealth, but the thing is some people oppress others, and they pursue these kind of things. Okay. Their goal in life is to enjoy. They have woes. Second, those trust in Mount Samaria mean trust Jeroboam. At that time, Jeroboam is what? The king of Samaria. Very powerful king. And this passage is saying those people who are woes, those who trust in Samaria, they don't trust God. So they put their confidence in the military power of King Jeroboam. Okay? And today, in the last days, you know, if we put our trust in, you know, person, some people, wealth, or whatever, talent, our ability, but not God, how are we different from these people? Okay. So these people have woes. This is the second type of people who have woes. Let's look at the third woe. Amos chapter 6, verse 3 to 14. But let's look at the first part, verse 3 to 7. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, enlamed on the flock and calves for the midst of the stall. Verse 5. Who sing idly to the sound of string instruments, and invent for yourself musical instruments like David. Who drink wine from bowls, and anoint yourself with best anointment, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Verse 7. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. Okay. So what kind of people have woes? From verse 3 to verse 6, there are four characteristics. First is the first part of verse 3. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Right? In other words, God's attention is just over there, coming. They don't care. They don't think that this doom is for them. They don't fear God. Right? It should show that they don't fear God. God's coming is coming. They don't fear. They think that's still far away. It won't come. Right? So they don't fear God. And today, how do we fear God? Not that we say we fear God, then we fear God. It doesn't work out that way. We need to see what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, tell us, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. If you hate evil, you will not walk on borderlines. We will not. We will be shunned away. It's okay, some people sometimes is dancing. It's okay if I, like in relation touch, you know, go, how far can I go? It's not matter how far. The thing is, we should hate evil, keep ourselves holy. Okay. Second, how do we mean by fear the Lord? Is what? To change. Hear the word of God and change. People who don't change, they don't fear God. Because they feel like God's word are just what? Nothing. I don't need to obey. It's a suggestion. And the third, fear of God, to show it, is what? Control of mouth. Control of mouth. Like David, right? David, one time, I was hiding in the cave, and Saul came to the cave, and then he told me and said, hey, this is the day that God said to you, you know, you shall avenge on your enemy. And David, what? He did not to kill Saul, but what did he do? Go back, go behind him, and cut a corner of his cloak, a piece of his cloth, right? But then after he cut it, how do you feel? He feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty? Why do you feel guilty? Right. Very good. Good thing nobody said because David loved Saul. Right? Sometimes, David lost Saul. David is a loving person. No, the true reason is because he feared God. Because he feared God, what? He respect men. If we do not respect men, like, for example, the Lord's anointed, don't think that we fear God. So David feared God. How do we know he feared God? This is the Lord's anointed. I cannot kill him. Okay? And even cut a little bit, a piece of his cloth, it's still not right. Okay? Think about who is Saul to David? Actually, Saul is the father-in-law of David. In other words, if you're married to Saul's daughter, right? Saul is our parent, our father, right? And can somebody kill their own father and not be punished? Think about it. Kill their own father and not be punished by God. No, definitely God will punish, right? Now, what if you kind of attack your parents behind? My parents, da 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 da. Just like cutting a piece of his cloth. Sometimes we don't feel guilty. We feel very alright with us. But David, no, that kind of thing, you know, to talk bad of the parents is not right. So David, even cutting the corner of a little piece of cloth, he feels it's not right. Okay? But what can he do? If you are David, what can you do? If your parents persecute you like Saul? Shouldn't be, okay? But sometimes they agitate you like Saul, right? Push you to the corner and you have nowhere to jump, okay? Push you into a cave, you have nowhere to go. Sometimes you just were so upset, right? You answer back to them, right? And fight back and stab them away, right? With your words. No, we shouldn't do that, right? So David showed his fear of God by respecting the Lord's anointed. Today, the Lord has set our parents over us. If we had no respect for our parents, we had no respect for God. Okay. Let's not be self-deceiving. So let's go on to Amos chapter 6, verse 3, the second part. It says, who caused the seat of violence to come near? In other words, The second characteristic is that they do evil. They are evildoers. And today, what we need to do is keeping the commandments of God eagerly. Okay? And if we do not want to, we still need to do it. Okay? This commandment is not a suggestion. Let's look at Amos chapter 6, verse 4 onward, all the way to verse 6. The first part of verse 6. Here, you show that it's not like they cannot enjoy themselves. It's not that they cannot put anointment. It's not that they cannot play piano or whatever instruments. It's not that they cannot drink wine. But what's wrong with it is that Bible is using this description to describe that these people are very materialistic. Their emphasis is in this life and enjoyment of this life. Okay? And as a result, very naturally, they become very selfish, self-indulgent, and lazy and greedy. So that's what Bible is criticizing. Okay? So this is their third characteristic. The fourth characteristic is the last part of verse 6. But are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Joseph can represent Israel, okay? Because Israel, the head of Israel, basically are Ephraim, okay? The descendants of Joseph. And at that time, the kingdom may be already being attacked by various nations, or attacked by Assyria. And these people don't care. It's their problem, not my business. I'm good. You know, these people attack, and these people suffer. They deserved it. But those people who suffer are their brothers and sisters, own brethren. But they're not grieved. They're not sad. They feel like, I'm okay. That person be punished. So it has nothing to do with us. I don't want to tell you a story. A sister called Judy, she testified a vision. She saw that there was a group of people wearing gray clothes, right? And all those people standing in one place. And she saw that the Lord, wearing white clothes, having a stick in his hand. He comes, she saw the Lord rocking one of the believers, right? Spank. Hit. Every time the Lord hit one time, the believer said, "Ow, it hurts." They hit one time, "Ow, it hurts." And then Sister Judy keeps seeing, after being whipped for a while, finally, that believer get it. I mean, that believer, the spot, right, being whipped, the spot become white. But the rest is still gray. That spot become white. Right? And then, there's a lot of people wearing gray clothes. And then this one person said, "You don't need to punish me. I do it myself." Right? What does this vision mean? This vision shows, actually, these people are believers. After baptism, their clothes is white. But however, in their life, maybe they're not washable. They come in sins. And then get all dirty. And the Lord disciplined, right? Taking one of the people, and then, like, serve as an example, huh? Whip. And sometimes some brother sister have some kind of sickness or illness and trouble. And sometimes we feel, not my business. Who cares? Right? Be careful. God is teaching us using that person. We need to repent. If not, it makes us. But then some people are wise. They see it. And they pray for that person and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm not better than that person. What did he do or what she did, right? I do it too. Now this guy's warning me, so I say, I do it myself." Okay. So sometimes if you look at some people's weaknesses, we can say, "Hey, I have that too." Since that they got punished, they say, "Let me change myself. Let's be a wise person." So these people have these four characteristics, and they have woes. Disaster could come upon them. Okay. So this is sort of as a warning for us. And in our life, right, we should not pursue, you know, enjoyment. What does Bible tells us? Arm ourselves with the attitude to suffer for Christ. Right? Sometimes it's easier said than done. Why? Well, yes, we need to suffer. But what would they suffer? Oh, no, I don't want to go. You go. Africa, you go. Okay, not me. Dominica, lots of mosquito, humid, cockroaches, mice, and cockroaches that fly. Anyway, all kind of things, and people say bugs, and no, I don't want to go there. People go one time, I had enough. Okay, let other people have the chance too. If God's will for me to go, I go. But what's God's will? That I don't go, right? So we need to have this attitude to suffer, okay? And these people really indulge themselves so much, right? And desires will come up from them. And we can see because people indulge in these kind of things, people lack of love. People cannot appreciate the things that they have. They cannot understand people's suffering. Okay? So we need to help God's people, okay? Wherever we send, we need to go. And this is the third woes, okay? And these people shall go into captivity first. These people to be punished first, because they're head, the leader of the people. Let's go on with the latter part. Let's look at Amos chapter 6, verse 8. Amos chapter 6, verse 8. The Lord God has sworn by himself. The Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. Then it shall come to pass that if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. Verse 10. And when a relative of the dead, with one who will burn the body, pick up the bodies to take them out of the house, he will say to one inside the house, are there anyone, any more with you? Then someone will say, none. And he will say, hold your tongue, for we dare not mention the name of the Lord. Verse 11. For behold, the Lord gives a command. He will break the great houses into beds and the little houses into pieces. Do horses run on rocks? Does one plow with the oxen? Yet you have turned justice into gout and fruit of righteousness into whirlwind. Verse 13. You who rejoice over Lodibar, who say, have we not taken Carnaim for ourselves by our own strength? Verse 14. But behold, I will raise up a nation against you, O house of Israel, says the Lord God of hosts. And they will flood you from the entrance of Hamah to the valley of Araba. Here, the Lord said, he hates the pride of Jacob. It means they disobey God and oppress the poor. Hate the palaces, we have mentioned. The palaces, God does not really pay for building itself, but hate the people inside because they are full of violence and also what? The wealth that they took. God hates these people. Okay. And God will deliver the whole city to the enemy. Okay. And God said, if there's 10 people in the house, they also die. And if the relative comes, basically this passage describes the destruction of God so severe. Okay, all 10 people die. So when the people and relative come to pick up a body and throw it out to be burned, as they throw it out, they will say, anybody here? Anybody? And if they hear any sounds, right? When somebody say none, or hear any sounds, they will fear the Lord, right? They will fear, say, oh, don't mention the name of the Lord. They fear God because they can see the corpse, the dead bodies everywhere. How can being punished by God scare them? They dare not to mention it. Okay? And the Lord had taken a command. He wanted to break the great houses into bits and little houses into pieces, destroy all those buildings. And do horses run on rocks? No, horses does not run good on rocks. And does the oxen plow there? There's so much rock, how do you plow? Does not plow good. It's impossible. And God is saying that you turn the justice into gall. Full of righteousness into wormwood. That's impossible. How can you do that? But you did it. Yeah, you really make the horse run on rocks and have the oxen plow on the rocks. And let's look at verse 13. You who rejoice, Lodibar, who said, have we not taken canaan for ourselves by our strength. This verse has a couple interpretation, a couple translation. In my version, NKJV, you mentioned these are the two cities. Okay? But in some translation, they simply translate nothing. Lo Debor means nothing. The city means nothing. Okay? And Karnaim means power. So some people, as they translate this passage, they don't see it as a city. They treat it as some kind of boast that the Israelites have. So you who rejoice over nothing, Lo Debor, right? Who said, have we not taken power for ourselves by our own strength? Okay, that's another interpretation. In fact, this is double meaning. At that time, they had taken, very likely taken two cities. And they rejoice. Look at what I've done. These two cities, we conquered them. It belongs to us now. And today, we have some people boast like that. Not good. I want to share with you a story. It's actually a true story. This is in Holy Spirit times. There's one brother, Xi. What happened, he lived in mountainous area in Taiwan. When his wife was quite fervent, like to attend service. The whole village almost as all believers, but the whole village kind of lukewarm. And this sister Xi was quite kind of like to attend service. So one time she got from the service and she went back home. Her husband was quite upset with her because she went to service and accomplished nothing or something. And so the husband scolded at her, said, why don't you go to church? And then she grabbed the Bible and handbook and cut into pieces, like that. It's all believers. And then this believer was, brother Xi was excommunicated. After he was communicated, and he earned some money, and so he boasted in front of everybody. Say, he also boasted before God, taunted God. Say, if God exists, how come he's so successful? Like that. And people had nothing to say to him. Really, he taunted God like that. And after a while, his firstborn daughter had a burn. It was a minor burn. But for some reason, the burn was only minor, but somehow she died a couple of days later. And he was kind of sad, but then he's trying to forget what happened, and so he tried to put his focus on earning money. And this person, Mr. Xia, was quite talented too, okay, and quite diligent too. And he earns a lot of money, and then he started boasting again. He said to the believer, tell the believer, hey, where's the God of True Jesus Church? If he exists, he should punish me. But you see that I lived a very good life. See that? Oh, the believer has been taunted, you know. I don't think they feel good. Huh? And the brother said, hey, you shouldn't say that. Warn him not to say that. Okay. And anyway, second daughter perished in an accident. Later on, he earns a lot of money. And he bought two hunting guns. And that time it was quite expensive at that time. It's quite. And he also bought a lot of valuable things. And so he taunted God again, third time. Where is God of True Jesus Church? Hey, is he sleeping? Like that. And how come I keep having money? That's what he said. And then something happened. There was a fire burning other people's houses. First houses, second houses. By the time of the third house, the fire was quenched. But then something happened. A miracle happened. When the fire was quenched on the third house, right? Suddenly, another fire started at his house and burned down his house and burned all his shotgun, the gun that he bought, hunting gun, and all the valuable things that he bought, everything. And after that, he dared not to, you know, come God or boast before God. So what this tells us, you know, it's actually the mercy of God we have these things. And let's not be proud, say, I have these things, huh? And started to despise others. Don't be like this brother. Okay. And let's continue with the last part. Okay. Let's continue with 14. It says, I will raise up a nation against you. This nation is Syria, according to history. so help Israel. And they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath to the valley of Araba. Hamath is the boundary of the northern kingdom in the time of Jeroboam. It reaches about 40 miles northeast of Israel. Again, okay, 40 miles northeast. Araba is basically, the valley of Araba is basically right next to the Sea of Araba, Dead Sea. So south of the Dead Sea, there's a valley, and they call it Valley of Araba. So basically from your kingdom, from the very north to the very south, God will send Assyria to oppress you all the way. Okay. And so this is what it means. Okay. And another thing I want to mention with you is the pride of God hates the palaces of Israel. Okay. This is something we need to be careful about read, because in this whole society, I discover that as we progress, as we have advancement in our culture, I mean society, I discover that people start become very corrupted, and they tend to lie, and they also teach other people to lie. And in every occupation, there's always the dark side. I'm not talking about Star Wars, the dark side. If you go deep beyond, you'll discover there's some part of the business or some kind of occupation. There is that cheating part, this lying part, deceiving part. There's that keep away from that. And I want to share with you a couple of testimonies before it ends. We have this actual story happened. Happened in the Xin Church in Taiwan. There's a brother, Liu, and he offered his land to the church. And the land, nobody take care of it. It's just sitting there, doing nothing. And so one day, without the husband's knowledge, the wife, Sister Liu, talked to the wife of the pastor. And basically, the wife of the pastor say, oh, why don't you cultivate the land, do some crops, right? And the sister, Liu, was thinking in her heart, yeah, why go and do that? And once I have all these harvests, right, it belong to me. That's what she thought in her mind. And her husband, she had a couple of experiences of translating the tongue. He's speaking tongue, and then he will translate it, saying in understanding language, like English or Taiwanese or Mandarin. So he speak the language in Mandarin to translate. But he didn't know what happened, what his wife did, okay? What the wife was thinking in her heart. And so he translated the tongue and said, holy, holy, holy. This is actually quoting from what he wrote. Holy, holy, holy. God's thing should belong to God. God's thing should belong to God. The land that you offer is accepted by God. You cannot borrow back to plant your own things. What is planted belongs to God. Your labor will not be in vain. You need to look at Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. If you're not familiar with the Bible, that's Ananias and Sapphira, two sentences, okay? I send angel to protect your family's faith, to prevent you sinning against me. Right, that's translated tongue. After praying, so husband, brother Leo, talked to his wife. And so the wife told him what happened. Okay. So this will teach us. Sometimes we do something we don't even know. We are cheating God. If something we offer to God, that is it to God. We cannot take it back and then get something profit from it and then put it in our pocket. No, you did it to God. It belonged to God. You cannot take it back. If you're taking it back, then what? Stealing God's stuff. Also, Bible tells us we need to be very careful with our vows. Okay? With our vows. Right? And if we say vows rushingly, and then we consider it again, and say regret it, and I don't want to do it, then we have made a mistake, and a severe mistake. So be careful. It's good that we offer certain things or even ourselves to God. But make sure after you say it, don't take it back. Don't take it back. Be careful. Okay. So what else, you know, will be considered doing God's thing. Okay. And another testimony I want to share with you was Thomas Kuhn. He's from Malaysia. He saw a vision that there was a building almost finished, and this building was built by zinc, built by metals. Okay. As he was looking at the building, suddenly the building started to collapse on him, so he started running. And then as he was, you know, trying to flee away from it, he saw how come the house fell apart, and then there was half a body of a brother appear in the midst of the room. And so he wondered what's going on. And then there was a message came to him saying, those people who gain money through unrighteous means will not inherit the kingdom of God. These people are not pleasing to God. Okay. So it means that if we cheat the people, lie to people, to make a profit, to earn our living, okay, in the end we'll be in vain. Just like the Bible says, okay, they have oppressed the poor and whatever, do evil, right? And they build big houses for themselves. But God said, they shall not live in the house. And God will take it away. So sometimes I see that some parents are really, I'm not talking about TJC, but overall, I see in the world that some parents are so devoted into earning money. And sometimes even illegal means, they do it too. And when they do that, what happens is what? They earn so much money, but what happened? Their children squander away. Because the children are not taught well or something. And then they have the money, they squander. So in the end, they all come to poverty. Okay? And so this is called in vain. And so it hurts a lot more. It hurts, really hurts, because they labor in vain, and then what? The children are not being taught well. Okay? They don't understand salvation. So we need to place, that's why Bible keeps telling us, you know, put God first. Whatever God wants to do, we should do it. And other things, our house shouldn't be like the palace that God hates. There's testimonies that some people do business, they don't offer to government what is right to government. Right? They don't pay taxes, in other words. Sometimes some people don't pay the tithe. And then they buy a lot of good things in the house, right? Big TV. It's not saying you cannot buy TV. You can buy TV if you want, okay? But sometimes people have this money, right? Because it comes from not offering or not doing what illegal means. And then they buy big TV, and they buy big things and very nice gadget and whatever, all these gadgets. And very nice, right? And then I heard a testimony that there was a thief came in the house and they stole everything. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes the disasters, death, sicknesses, children squander it, or something happened. Right? So what's important is not like accumulating wealth for ourselves. But what's important is to do what is the right of God. So that wealth, the things that we labor, will not be in vain. Right? And these people oppressed and cheated and lied and what do all these things. And then they had big houses, but then what? That's only for a while. Take warning for them. God said God will destroy it. Okay. We in vain. Okay. So we need to be cautious. Okay. How come the bill hasn't ring yet? 2 more minutes. Oh, okay. So any questions? Any question? I do not. Any passage I did not explain what it means to you. So does everybody understand every term in Amos? Any questions?
The Maui thing just was mine. What characteristic of what?
The people Oh.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'll repeat. The four characteristics in the third world, there are in the third world, there are, how come these people have wolves? Because four things, four characteristics. One is they do not have fear of God. Second, they are evil doer. Third, these people are materialistic, selfish, lazy, indulgent people. The fourth is they lack a love for the brethren. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Yes, Tammy?
In the beginning of the first class, you were talking about the disciplines, how the famine, the drought, the plague, the war.
Yes.
Is this the war part?
The what? War part? The war is basically fighting. It can be fighting in the family, severe fighting in the family. It can be lawsuits, something that God caused, that we have a severe relationship problem with people. Okay. And it's also reaping what we sow. We're doing something wrong, so that's why people have war with us. Okay. Anything else? Somebody tell me to repeat all the what? Can somebody tell me? Repeat. I can't hear you. Oh, tense up. Well, I heard you now. Okay. Basically, there are five disasters, the five things that God used to discipline the children, the people. And something light to very severe to teach us. Okay, so we should be cautious. And sometimes God uses emptiness or drought, a famine, like lacking something in our daily life or lacking in our hearts to teach us. Another thing is use drought, no blessing. And then it becomes more severe. Use disaster, pestilence, sickness, problem, right? And then the war, relationship problem. The last one, broken up. City being burned up. The family being broken up to warn us. Okay? So that's God's presence.